أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء سيدنا المرسلين سيدنا النبيين ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا زدنا علما وارزقنا فهما واغفر لنا ذنوبنا وذنوب والدينا ومشايخنا ولجميع المسلمين أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. الحمد لله على كل حال، ونعوذ بالله من حال أهل الضلال. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك ولا تجعل فيها حظا لغيرك. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعزائي المسلمين، الحمد لله. We continue with our selection of a hadith from Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, the hadith compilation which speaks about the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We started yesterday with a hadith from the chapter on the khalq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his outer creation. There's one more hadith from that chapter, and then in the rest of today there will be a selection from 17 chapters, couple of ahadith from those 17 chapters. If we get the time, bismillah ta'ala, because time doesn't permit us to go through all of the chapters, perhaps I'll just mention the names of the chapters and something about each one of them. But we'll first try and cover the ahadith that have been selected. So, from the chapter on the khalq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to put our minds into the right frame again, there is a hadith about عن الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه قال. جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه, he says that رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم في ليلة أضحيان. In a night when the full moon shone. And we had those days not too long ago. And we saw the moon in full flare here in Cape Town, and it was beautiful. And we see it often, and it's beautiful. How beautiful is the full moon set against the dark night. So Jabir ibn Samurah radiallahu anhu, he says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a night when there was a full moon. وَعَلَيْهِ حُلَّةٌ حَمْرًا. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a set of clothing, of red clothing. فَجَعَلْتُ أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ وَإِلَى الْقَمَرِ. So I started looking at him and looking at the moon. Looking at him and looking at the moon. Looking at him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and looking at the moon. فَلَهُوَ عِنْدِي أَحْسَنُ مِنَ الْقَمَرِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Jabir ibn Samurah radiallahu anhu says, most certainly, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more beautiful to me than that woman. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's just to remind us of what we spoke about yesterday of the physical features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was beautiful sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was necessary for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for him to be beautiful, because that beauty attracts people to him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a message for everyone. He was attractive in every way. His message was attractive, his appearance was attractive, his internal character was attractive. Everything about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was attractive, so that we could be attracted to this deen of Islam. And to come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue. I'm skipping some chapters, but we'll read the hadith first and see if we get a chance to mention something about other chapters. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال ما عددت في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولحيته إلا 14 شعرة بيضاء. Speaking about the hair of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was an interesting Sahabiyya because he spent a lot of time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam due to the fact that he used to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentions in one hadith that we'll cover later that he did that for some 10 years or more. He served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he knew lots about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I didn't count in the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in his beard except 14 white hairs. He's speaking about the grey hairs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before we even get into the hadith, there's a number of things to take from the hadith. Firstly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some grey hairs. And we'll speak a bit more about that as we move along. There's the number of grey hairs that were seen in his head sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in his beard. The number in this hadith is mentioned as 14. There are other hadith that mention different numbers. But from all of those hadith put together, we come to understand that it was something like 20 or less than 20 grey hairs in the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in his beard together. But what I find more important and perplexing about or amazing about these hadith is the detail to which the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala went to preserve everything about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Imagine a man lived over 1400 years ago sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today we can discuss the number of grey hairs on his head sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What great service or love did his Rasulullah or these companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have for him, that they documented everything of his life to the extent of the number of grey hairs on his head sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's something for us to learn from that, of their love for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what our love for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be. Continue. سمعت جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه وقد سئل عن شيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The person before this in the chain of narration says that I heard جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه whilst he was asked about the grey hairs of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, I heard him say, كان إذا دهن رأسه كان إذا دهن رأسه لم يرى منه شيء وإذا لم يدهن رؤيا منه شيء. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put oil on his hair, then his grey hairs wouldn't be seen. But when he didn't oil it, then some of his grey hairs could be seen. We have something from there as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put oil on his hair. And that speaks of something as well. Why do you put oil on your hair? To take care of your hair. To be kept. To be nice, to be neat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintained himself. And that's something very important as well for us to know. As Muslims, it's not necessarily part of piety to be ragged and dirty. No, we're supposed to be clean. Keep ourselves well, look after ourselves. Our bodies are an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times would dye his hair. Here the hadith is mentioned in this chapter because it speaks about the grey hairs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what stands out for me very much in this chapter is the reason that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives for having those grey hairs. Why do we get grey hairs? Too much stress. Job is worrying me. I heard someone say the wife. Alhamdulillah, the lady listened. Children are stressing me, everything, financial responsibilities, and that's why we get grey here, we get old. And, but let's see what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. An Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa qala, qala Abu Bakr, ya Rasulullah, qad shibta. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَدْ شِدَّ. You have become a bit grey. Meaning you, like some signs of age are showing on you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال, he said, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responding, he said, what? شَيَّبَتْنِي غُولٌ وَالْوَاقِعَةِ وَالْمُسَلَاتِ وَعَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ وَإِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. Most likely don't need to translate that for you. What are those names? Those are the names of surah of the Quran. Surah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about intense matters of the year after. About punishment at times, about being separated into groups, people of Jannah, people of Nar, about the punishments that will be experienced there. The reality that certain people will enter those places. That is what caused Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crazy. Versus the like of فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of these surah, O Rasulullah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be steadfast as you have been commanded. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found this to be a very a great task that he was faced with. To have a miracle is one thing, but to have consistency, that's something better. To have consistency is something better. And that's why that was a great responsibility upon the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coupled with the fact that these surahs speak about events of the year after. That oftentimes we know, I heard Mawlana Khalil speaking last night about consequences, about the mind understanding consequences, thinking about consequences. And when Rasulullah sallallahu, you know, we think of the consequences in this dunya and we go crazy because of that. Because I think I don't have enough, when in actual fact I'm getting fatter, not thinner. When I have nothing really to worry about. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of everything in the dunya. Everything has been written already. That causes me to go crazy. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went great because of these things that occur in the year after. Worrying about us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue another hadith pertaining to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked after himself and another practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read the hadith عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اكتحلوا بالإخمد فإنه يجنو البصر وينبت الشعر. وزعم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم له مكحولة يكتحل منها كل ليلة ثلاثة في هذه وثلاثة في هذه. This comes under the chapter of the Kuhl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it's narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اكتحلوا. You might understand the word from this, for those who know some Arabic, you see the root of this, كحلا كحلا. You know what's كحلا? Yeah, the brother in front of me has some كحلا. It's like, you might know the word kajal or surma or something like that. So ithmin or kuhl, yeah, the one that was also used with a specific type of this surma, if you want to call it that. Put it in the eyes. It's like a powder. Usually you get a little stick that you can dip in there, and then you take it, put it in your eye, pull it along the side of your eye, and it leaves like a lining, like a black lining in the eye. In our experience, most of the time, we just see females putting on eye pencil or something. But Rasulullah also used to do something similar with a specific type of kuhl, kuhl ifni. You take that and put it in his eyes. He says that Rasulullah said, "Iktahilu bil ifni." Use this kuhl of the ifni type called antimony. فَإِنَّهُ يَجْنُ الْبَصَرُ. Because using this kuhl, it brightens the sight, it brightens the eyes. Meaning it enhances your sight. وَيُمْبِتُ الشَّعَرُ. And it causes the hairs to grow, meaning your eyelashes to grow. وَزَعْمَ. And the Rawi then claimed that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had a little pot. يَتَّحِلُ مِنْهَا, which he would apply kuhl from. So, he tells you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you to put in kuhl, but But he then also affirms that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did this. When did he do this? كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ ثَلَاثَةً فِي هَذِهِ وَثَلَاثَةً فِي هَذِهِ. He would do this every night sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Put thrice in the one eye and thrice in the other eye. There's a difference as to the number of times you would do it. Some says thrice in the right eye, twice in the left eye. That's not our point here. The fact is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put on quiet. Again, this speaks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing something. He's looking after his body. There's a difference as to whether Rasulullah did this for beauty, a complete quiet, enhance the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it was really for the benefits that came therefrom. But nevertheless, it remains a sunnah. It remains a sunnah for us to practice. Imagine that when taking care of my body, putting oil on my head, when putting ithmin in my eyes, something that benefits me in this world, put oil on my head, maybe it makes my head feel nice and soft. I can do it with that intention. Or I can give a nice shine to my hair, or maybe I just don't feel like putting on gel or whatever. I can do it for that reason. I can put in kuhal because it gives my eyes a nice dark look and looks good. Or I can remember, you know what? In that class in hadith about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did these things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put oil on his head. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put kuhal in his eyes. And because of the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, and because I love him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much, I will also do that, then it becomes a source of reward for you. Because what you are doing now is you are following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah doesn't only exist in his actions or what he told us to do. Emulating him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his practices, even that pertain to his normal daily things, they too lies ajr for us. There too lies the reward for us if we do them with the intention of emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to understand. My intention that I think the brother should make is that when reading these things, make an intention nowadays that, you know what, at least once in my life I'm going to practice this. When somebody goes to Makkah again, I'm going to ask him to give me a little bit of ithmin. I don't think it's really available here. I might be wrong. But you get it all over the place in Medina and Makkah if you ask around. You're going to ask, and it's not that expensive. You ask somebody to get you some, use it, maybe if you doesn't think you fancy. Do it once, fulfill the sunnah, and perhaps give it to someone else. Allow them also the opportunity to fulfill the sunnah. And to make that intention. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ورق وكان فصه حبشيا. We move on to another chapter, the chapter of the ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a ring. In fact, scholars differ. Some say he had one ring, some say he had two rings. Here in this hadith is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a ring made of silver. Rasulullah had a ring made of silver, and it mentions here that the stone of that ring was a Habashi stone, an Abyssinian stone, which would now be like Ethiopia or something. I need to bring my ring to show you, my ring with a stone. And the only reason I wear that ring is because I heard that it was something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you find lots of people doing that. And so Rasulullah ﷺ had this, and we read some more hadith about the ring of Rasulullah ﷺ, then no, discuss it here about it. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال اتخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتما من ورق من ورق. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم took a ring of silver. فكان في يده, it used to be with him in his hand. ثم كان في يد أبي بكر. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had the ring. وَيَدِ عُمَر. After that, it was in the hand of Umar radiallahu anhu, meaning in his position. ثُمَّ كَانَ فِي يَدِ عُثْمَان. Then it was in the hand of Uthman radiallahu anhu. حَتَّى وَقَعَ فِي بِئْرِ آلِيسٍ نرجو محمد رسول الله أن تكور عثمان رضي الله عنه يدري when the dream was with Uthman رضي الله عنه they went somewhere the dream fell into a well and despite all their best efforts the dream couldn't be found so the dream of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was thus lost but on this dream it was inscribed Muhammad رسول الله and I think many of us would have seen pictures on the internet of people that have a copy of the ring somehow. You would have seen this. There was like a seal on it. So there's a discussion as to what the purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ring was. Did he wear the ring? Or did he just have the ring for another purpose? You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know that the kings of the time of other places, they wouldn't accept letters unless that letter was sealed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a ring made for himself, and this is the one that this hadith speaks about. A ring with a seal on it, written Muhammad Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use that ring to then seal letters that were sent to those kings. Obviously letters inviting them to Islam. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a ring for that purpose. However, this scholar said that Rasulullah had two rings, one that he would wear and one that he would use just as a seal. Others said that he had one ring, that one ring which was a seal, he would wear it at times and at times he wouldn't wear. Because there are hadith in this chapter as well that speak about the fact that Rasulullah wouldn't wear his ring. But then there are other hadith that speak about the fact that Rasulullah wore his ring, even to the extent of which hand he wore his ring on. So there are many ways to understand these hadith in the totality. One is that Rasulullah at times he wear the ring and at times he wouldn't wear it. Or possibly that he had two rings, one he wouldn't wear, one he wouldn't wear. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we move on to the next hadith. It also speaks about the ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يلبس خاتمه في يمينه. علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه he says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to wear the ring on his right hand. This speaks about the fact that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to wear his ring. So if you want to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then you too can wear it. There's a discussion as to which hand Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم wears. Did he wear it on his right hand? Did he wear it on his left hand? There are hadith that speak about both. But the overriding majority would say that most of the time you wear it on his right hand. And sometimes you wear it on his left hand. That's how one can understand the hadith together. The fact of the matter is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a ring and he would wear it at times. And Ibn Sirin قال صنعت سيفي على سيف سمرة بن جندب وزعم سمرة أنه صنع سيفه على سيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان حنفيا. This moves into another chapter on the sword of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had a number of swords. He would name his swords as well. Different swords were used at different times. I can't remember the names of all of them, but one I do remember is Dhul-Fiqar. It said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used that sword at Fath Makkah. But here, I specifically brought this hadith to illustrate a point. And here Ibn Sirin, he says that I made my sword according to the sword of Samurai ibn Jundub, meaning I had a sword fashioned for myself in the way that person's sword was fashioned, like the same style sword. وَزَعْمَ Samura, but why did he do this? He said, Samura claimed أَنَّهُ صَنَعَ سَيْفَهُ عَلَى سَيْفِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ that his sword was fashioned like the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then, I'm talking about following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa actions that he did, oiling your hair, putting on kuhal and things like that. They went so much as following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in how his sword was. Not even about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is just something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, that he used to use. But here this person says that I made my sword according to that person's sword because that person said that his sword is made like Rasulullah's sword was blessed. That's the extent of which our pious predecessors wanted to emulate Rasulullah's sword, wanted to be like Rasulullah's sword. Why? Because of how much they loved him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not even his person, not even his action, a thing that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had, they wanted to emulate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that love for Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, وَكَانَ حَنَفِيًّا The sword was a Hanafi sword, not a Hanafi in terms of fiqh madain. I mean, it's a sword like the sword of the Ibn Rasul, is a Shafi sword. None of that kind of Hanafi sword. A sword that was made by the tribe of the Banu Hanifa. A certain group of people, things that came from them, it would be called a Hanafi thing, according to the name of the tribe. Right, we continue. We're speaking about the next hadith, we'll be speaking about the armor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I'm running through some hadith, speaking about the external things of Rasulullah, things that Rasulullah had in his clothes, etc. And Zubayr ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhu قال كان على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم أحد درعان. On the day of Uhud, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had two pieces of armor upon himself. فنهض إلى الصخرة فلم يستطع. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم tried to climb upon a rock, but he wasn't able to. It could have been because of the armor was restricting him. It could also have been that in the battle of Rasulullah صلى الله in the battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured in the battle of Uhud. His armor was pierced and in fact it caused him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bleed. So he wasn't able to get up on the rock. فَأَقَعَدَ طَلْحَ تَحْتَهُ وَصَعَدَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam حَتَّى اسْتَوَى عَلَى الصَّخْرَةِ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got طَلْحَ to sit beneath him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by using the support of Talha, he sat onto the rock. قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. He said that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, أوجب Talha. Imagine this. The Sahabi was allowed to be a support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to climb onto a rock. The Sahaba were ever willing, that would have been a great honor for them, to deal that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could step upon them to achieve his goal. Even if that goal was just to get into a rock, he could have put his hand out and lifted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two sahaba could have come and lifted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the rock. But they didn't think, no, let's rather lift Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the rock. No, let me get down so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can step on me and get up to the rock. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhu sahaba. That was how much they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is actually speaking about the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore armor. That was the point of bringing the hadith. But we learn from it, again, the love of the sahaba for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the obedience that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much they wanted to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qualities that through reading these hadith, we must come to imbibe within ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. So he says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, أوجب طلحة. Something that has become compulsory for Talha. What is that? Either Jannah or the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become compulsory for Talha because of the service that he did to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Either for that service or because of the feelings that were behind the service that he did for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Jabir radiallahu anhu qala, دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة يوم الفتح وعليه عمامة سوداء. Speaking about the turban of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Mecca on the day of Fath. Meaning when the Muslims came to conquer Mecca, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Mecca wa alayhi imamah sawda, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had upon his head that day a black turban. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a black turban. And I brought my turban with also today. In the Koch. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear a turban. And this was one of the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was a continuous sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would most of the time wear a We are eternal on this earth. Yes, Mishnah Rasulullah is a black turban. عن أبي بردة عن أبيه رضي الله عنه قال أخرجت إلينا عائشة رضي الله عنها كساء ملبدا وإزارا غليظا فقالت قبض روح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا. In fact, that's the last hadith that I wanted to finish today. We'll try and go through the chapter in this afterwards. Abu Burda رضي الله عنه, Abu Burda narrates from his father رضي الله عنه that Aisha رضي الله عنها came up to us one day, or she brought up to us one day كساء ملبدا, a patched sheet, a sheet that was patched up. وإزارا غليظا, and an إزار, إزار is like a lower garment, right? So it would be like a lungi or like a type of some type of pants thing, right? She brought up this izar, but what kind of izar was it? It was a coarse ghalil, a very coarse lower garment. And then she said, قُبِضَ رُوحُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي هَذَا. The ruh of Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ was taken in these two things. What she's speaking about? That this patched sheet and this coarse lower garment, these were the clothing, these were the articles of clothing in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ruh was taken. Meaning till the end of his life, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore clothes like this. Who of us like to wear patch clothes? We see one little thing wrong with our clothes, nah, I must throw it away. Can't wear that anymore. We must have our man, you know, because I don't know, maybe it's like a little bit softer. Or maybe it's been softening my mind. But still, maybe not because it's softer, but because it has the name. This is Rasulullah. There's nothing wrong with dressing nicely, definitely not. But what I'm saying is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till the end of his life, chose to dress like this. Why? Because the dunya didn't mean that much to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It had a purpose. The dunya has a purpose. The purpose of clothing is what? To adorn you, yes. And also to cover you. To adorn you and to cover you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus used things to the, for their purposes. Rasulullah's life wasn't about getting clothes and getting more clothes. In fact, in some discussions, they mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only had one of each article of clothing that was necessary. Because clothing has a purpose. It's not an objective in and of itself. Like we work so that I can buy more clothes. But I have enough clothes already. Actually, I have so much clothes that I'm not even going to wear some of the clothes that I already have, though they're perfectly fine. Maybe I didn't even wear it before, even. I bought it, you know, because I like it. Then I got home, I thought, yeah, it doesn't suit my style. So I never wore, but it's still in my cupboard. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used these worldly things for their purposes. But it also speaks of the zuhud of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the abstinence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this world. This is speaking about when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away from this world. And this is after the struggles of Mecca. This is after the Muslims were in Medina and established themselves in Medina. This is after the Muslims conquered Mecca. This is after all of this. This comes to the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When if he wanted, he could have asked, the Sahaba would have given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best of clothing if he wanted. Rasulullah, let the Sahaba, Allah would have given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best of clothing if that was what was necessary. Clothing that our brands, no matter how expensive they are, could not even compare to. But that wasn't necessary. That wasn't what we were supposed to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we were supposed to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is how these mundane things have a purpose and they should be fulfilled as long as they fulfill the purpose. But when we go in excess of that, then we're becoming wasteful. Then we're changing our objective from pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to merely fulfilling our desires. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. This is the last hadith that I've selected regarding the outer items of clothing and features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, there are many more in the book. time is actually an absolute constant, which in the chapter is. It wasn't necessary, it was entirely part of the cross. But I just want to mention a piece of poetry of Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu that we can all perhaps remember. To summarize the outer features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, and you should very likely have heard this before. أحسن منك لم تر قط عيني. More beautiful than you, or better than you, more perfect than you. لم تر قط عيني. No eye has ever seen. More beautiful than you, more perfect than you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No eye has ever seen. وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء. And more beautiful than you, no woman has ever given birth to. خلقت مبرئا من كل عيب. You have been created, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, free of any defects. كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء. As if you have been created as you please. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we move on, we'll get to the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the food of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's the most beautiful. So what is yet to come is more beautiful than what has already come. وإني وجزاكم الله خير وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.